Thank you. Very good song. Open your Bible to 2 Samuel chapter 9. This morning we were in 1 Samuel. Now tonight, 2 Samuel chapter 9. Okay, find that passage. And when you find it, we're going to pray. And we're going to get right into this chapter and learn some things, hopefully, from it tonight that will be very fitting for our time around the Lord's table. That's 2 Samuel chapter 9. And I'm just going to, when you find it, give you a second to find it. And we're going to do a little bit different tonight. It's going to be a little bit different type Lord's Supper service, and I hope that you will enjoy it. And we'll probably maybe do a little singing here along with the lesson tonight, and you'll see as we get into it. 2 Samuel chapter 9. And I want to speak to you tonight on this subject for a little while, a look in the mirror at Mephibosheth. A look in the mirror at Mephibosheth. Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful for the ordinance you've given us to observe called the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table. And Lord, you allowed each individual church to kind of set how many times, how often we would gather around this table. And for here at this church for many, many, many years, it's been done four times a year. And so this is something that we don't do very often. And yet, Lord, it's so needful. And I pray that you'll help us tonight as our hearts are centered on the sacrifice of Christ, to, Lord, be built up and edified and challenged, and to be a little bit closer in our hearts to you, Lord, when we leave tonight than when we came. That's the purpose of it. It's not to exalt man. It's not to exalt an element, a piece of bread or a glass of juice. It is to exalt the Savior, the Lord Jesus. Help me tonight, I pray, in this passage, in Jesus' name, and amen. So as we gather around the Lord's table, I want to remind us of a man many, many years ago who was invited to a king's table. Now, I want you to notice in verse number 1 here, 2 Samuel chapter 9, the Bible says, "And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" So David's king now over Israel. His battles pretty much have been fought. The kingdom is settled. He's sitting on the throne. And he says, you know, I want to do something to show kindness to somebody from the house of Saul. And it wasn't because of his great love for Saul. It was because of his great love for Jonathan, his very close friend. I don't think there's anything funny. I don't think there's anything evil about the relationship that David and Jonathan had. They were close friends in the Lord. If you don't understand that relationship, I feel sorry for you. I have people who are not biologically related to me who are extremely close in the Lord. And that's what David and Jonathan were, close friends. And so David says, I want to die. Jonathan's dead. Okay, he died with his daddy Saul in the battle there. And so David says, okay, I want to do something for Saul's sake. I want to show somebody in the family kindness for Jonathan's sake. Look at verse number 3. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of God that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. So Ziba answers David's question and says, well, David, there's this boy that belongs to Jonathan. He's alive here on earth. But I want you to know he is lame on his feet. Now look at verse number 4. And the king said unto him, where is he? Where does he live? Where does he reside? Is he here in Jerusalem? No, he's not in Jerusalem. Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, in Lodebar. So where does this boy of Jonathan live? He lives in Lodebar. You know what Lodebar means? The land of no pasture. Pastureless. There's nothing there for nourishment. There's nothing there for sustenance. He's in a barren land called Lodebar. That's where he lives. Now look at verse number 6. The Bible tells us this son's name. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul. So here is the grandson of Saul, the son of Jonathan, and this boy that David and Ziba have been talking about is named Mephibosheth. His name means dispeller of shame. Out of my mouth proceeds reproach. Now, people, I want you to get the picture here. This is a real life thing. This is not some fable. This is not some parable, some story. This is a real life thing here, okay? There is this young man. His name is Mephibosheth. His name means dispeller of shame. Out of my mouth proceeds reproach. And he's living in the land called Lodebar. No pasture, no sustenance. The land of no pasture. And he is lame on his feet. You know how he became lame on his feet? He was a little boy. I think the scripture says about 5 years of age. And there was a military battle involving his family. And the Bible says that a nurse picked him up and began to ran with him. Almost like a nanny, not a nurse in the medical sense, but like a nanny would be helping to take care of some children. This nanny or nurse picked him up and began to run with him when he was a little boy, and she dropped him. He fell and he was injured. And from that time on, after that fall, he was lame on his feet. Lame on his feet. Living in a land of no pasture, and out of his mouth proceeds reproach. You know who we're looking at tonight? So we're looking at Mephibosheth. Take another look. We're looking at me and you. We're looking at us. You see, you and I were lame on our feet because of a fall. It wasn't necessarily our fall. It was Adam and Eve's fall. It took place in the Garden of Eden way back when they ate the forbidden fruit that God told them not to eat. The devil comes in the form of a serpent and he subtly seduces them and tempts them, and he leads them to take the bite of that fruit in disobedience to God. And from that moment on, from that moment in time, right there, that real life moment in time, man fell. He fell from his perfection. He fell from his completeness. He fell from his relationship with God. He fell from his sinlessness. And every human being born into this world since that moment in time is lame on our feet. We have a fallen nature. And when you were born, go back to your birth date. When you were brought into this world, you were brought into this world lame on your feet. You were brought into this world with a fallen nature, because in Adam, all humanity sinned, and that's been passed down. And more than that, folks, our name is Mephibosheth, which means out of our mouth comes reproach. You say, whoa, whoa, wait a minute, Brother Angel. Out of my mouth comes reproach. People, what comes out of us is reproachful, because that's what's inside of us. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. We're lame on our feet. We're full of reproach. We're sinners against God. We don't seek after God. We do our own thing. We break all of His commandments. You say, well, I've never committed adultery. I've never murdered anybody. The Bible says if you've broken one, you're guilty of all. There we are. We're Mephibosheth. We're lame on our feet. We're full of sinful reproach. And guess what? We are living in Lodebar. We're living in a land of no pasture. We can't find the wherewithal to help ourselves out of our sinful condition. And because we're lame on our feet, we can't walk out of our situation or out of our condition by our own good works. We can't walk out of our situation by our own strength. We can't do that. We're living in Lodebar. We're lame on our feet. We're full of reproach. You and I are Mephibosheth, speaking symbolically. Now, I want you to look at verse number 5, what happens here. Here is this young man full of reproach, lame on his feet, living in a barren land, a land of no pasture. And in verse number 5, the Bible says, then King David sent. Now look at this. And fetched him out of the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, from Lodebar. So one day, Mephibosheth is spending that day like he spent every other day since he was 5 years of age, or since he was a little boy. He's paraplegic. He can't walk. Lodebar, the land of no pasture. Some people have described the land of Lodebar as having open sewers running through the land. Sometimes you've seen pictures of that from missionary presentations. That's where he's living, maybe in a squalor, a house of squalor there, pitiful conditions. And all of a sudden, he hears a noise outside his house. Really, you should be listening right now. We're talking about something from the Bible. You got something to talk about. I don't get that. I don't get that. I don't get it. Things change. I tell you. He's inside the house, and all of a sudden he hears a clamor outdoors. And he looks through a curtain and hears the chariot that belongs to the king. And somebody in royal clothes descends from that chariot and comes to that door and knocks on it. And somebody maybe answers it, and the man says, "I'm looking for a boy by the name of Mephibosheth." The fellow says, "Mephibosheth? The lame boy? That boy that can't walk? Well, he's just a little bitty fellow over here, or maybe young man over here now. Here he is over here. What do you need with Mephibosheth? He has been summoned by the king to come to Jerusalem." Somebody goes in that house and picks up that boy that can't walk himself and carries him out to the king's chariot and puts him in that royal coach, and the royal coach drives him to Jerusalem. David sent and fetched Melchizedek out of Lodebar. When Melchizedek could not go to David, David came to Melchizedek. When Mephibosheth could not go to David, David came to Mephibosheth. I'll get the right name. They are pretty similar, you got to admit, okay? They both start with an M, amen, and they're long. When Mephibosheth couldn't go to David, David came to Mephibosheth. Kind of reminds me of a song that we sing once in a while. Take your songbook and turn to page 214. 214, thank you, Brother Hall. 214. Kind of reminds me of a good old hymn we sing once in a while here at the church. We're going to sing it right now. You think about Mephibosheth living in the land of no pasture, and all of a sudden the king comes to where he was. Hey, better than that, think about yourself when you were living in land of no pasture, lame on your feet, and the gospel of grace came to your door. Let's sing "The Gulf That Separated Me." Give us the chord there. 214. Let's sing it tonight from our hearts. Here we go. "The gulf that separated me from Christ my Lord was so vast, the crossing I could never ford. From where I was to his demand, it seems so far. I cried, dear Lord, I cannot come to where you are." No problem. He came to me. He came to me. When I could not come to where he was, he came to me. That was in Lodebar. That was in Lodebar. That's why he died on Calvary. Who, when I could not come to where he was, he came to me. Look at verse 2. He came to me when I was bound in chains of sin. He came to me when I possessed no hope within. In Lodebar, that's where we were. He picked me up and drew me gently to his side, where today in his sweet love I now abide. Come to where he was, he came to me. That's why he died on Calvary. could not come to where he was. He came to me. Remember when he came to you? Remember where you were living? Yeah, I was living in Kankakee. No, spiritually, you were in Lodibar. The land of no pasture. Lame on your feet. Full of sinful reproach. And he came to us. Once you look at verse number 6, look what happens here. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. I like that. You know, there's a lot of songs out there that talk about what we're going to do when we get to heaven someday. To be honest with you, I think some of them are quite foolish. Talks about going here and going there. But I got a feeling when we get to heaven, friend, and we're escorted to the throne, and we look in the face of the one who gave his life's blood so that we could be saved, I got a feeling that we're going to do exactly what Mephibosheth did. I got a feeling we're just going to fall on our face and give him reverence. Page 190 in your song book. We sing a song about that every so often here in the church service. 190. I dreamed of that city called glory. You get down to that chorus. I think it tells us what we're going to do when we get to heaven someday. I dreamed of that city. Bowed on my knees. Let's sing it tonight. Let it think about it. I dreamed of that city called glory. So bright and so fair. Oh, when I entered the gate, I cried, holy. The angels all met me there. They carried me from mansion to mansion. And oh, the sights I saw. But I said, I want to see Jesus, the one who died for all. Here's Mephibosheth. Then I bowed on my knees and cried, holy, holy, holy. I clapped my hands and sang, glory. Glory to the Son of God. Verse 2, as I entered the gates of that city, my loved ones all knew me well. They showed me all around heaven. The scenes were too numerous to tell. I saw Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Mark, Luke, and Timothy. Here's Mephibosheth. But I said, I want to see Jesus, the one who died for me. Bowed on my knees and cried, holy, holy, holy. I clapped my hands and sang, glory, glory to the Son of God. Who are we looking at tonight? We're looking at Mephibosheth. Who are we looking at tonight? We're looking at us. You look in the mirror, you see Mephibosheth here. Look at verse number 6. And Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, son of Saul, was coming to David. He fell on his face and did reverence. And David said to Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold, thy servant. Boy, he had the right attitude, didn't he? He had the right mindset. You know what he considered himself? He considered himself David's servant. And why not, people? I mean, David sent and pulled him out of the pastureless land. David had that lame boy carried to the coach and brought to Jerusalem. And here he came into the king's palace, and His heart's full of gratitude, and his heart is full of gratefulness for all that David had done for him. And when he spoke to David, he said, "Behold thy servant," and would to God you and I would have the same attitude, the same mindset toward the Lord this day and age. Who are you, Terry Angel? I'm a servant of God. I may pastor Faith Baptist Church. I may speak in a youth conference here and there once in a while. But folks, in the end, none of that matters. What matters is I'm a servant of God. Are you a servant of God tonight? Why wouldn't you be? Why wouldn't you serve Him? You're lame on your feet. He picked you up and brought you to the coach. You dwelled in a land of no pasture. There was no sustenance, no nourishment there. You're full of reproach. And He picked us up and brought us in the royal chariot of grace to the King's palace. And when He calls our name, you know how we ought to respond? I'm here, your servant. I'm your servant. Now look at verse number 7 going on in the story. And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake." I want you to know this, and we'll see this, "and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father." He said, "Mephibosheth, I'm going to give you back everything you lost." And people, when we got saved, God restored from our lost position everything that we had lost because of sin, and we became the sons of God. That's what He did. Mephibosheth was allowed to eat bread at the king's table continually. Look at the end of verse number 7. "And thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." Verse number 11. At the end, "As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." You know what eating at the table is symbolic of? It's symbolic of fellowship. You see, that's where we started in Adam. We started in Adam having communion, fellowship with the Lord. But because of sin, we lost that. And then when we get saved, that's restored to us. We become a child of God. We're restored to that place of fellowship. We can gather around the king's table and eat there because we are no longer children of darkness. We're no longer children of the devil. Now we are children of light. We are made the sons of God. For as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. We're restored to that position of fellowship. Find page 272 in your songbook tonight, 272. Here's another beautiful song about that restoration that we've been given because we've been saved. We've been restored to that what we lost because of sin. And we've been made a child of the King. And this song sings about that. "Once I was clothed in the rags of my sin. Oh, once I was clothed in the rags of my sin." Here we are. "Wretched and poor, lost and lonely within. But with wondrous compassion, the King of all kings, in pity and love, took me under His wing. Oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King, and His royal blood and now flows in my veins. And I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing. Praise God, I'm a child of the King. Now I'm a child with a heavenly home. My Holy Father has made me His own, and I'm cleansed by His blood, and I'm clothed in His love, and someday I'll sing with the angels above. Oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child. Now I'm sitting at His table tonight. His royal blood now flows in my veins. And I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing. Praise God, I'm a child of... Yeah. I wonder if Mephibosheth walked around singing that song. Praise God, I'm a child of the King. From Lodibar to the King's palace, we're made a child of the King. Now, church, listen. We are eating tonight at the King's table. We're invited to pull up a chair and remember the sacrifice of the King's Son. The bread that's passed in just a moment is going to be symbolic of His broken body where He died at Calvary. The juice that we passed is symbolic of His shed blood where He shed there on Calvary's cross where He shed His blood. We're going to pull up a chair to this table tonight. But I want to show you something as we do. Look at verse number 13. Mephibosheth is sitting at the king's table in fellowship with the king. The Bible says, verse 13, so Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both of his feet. So as much as the king did for him, he was still lame. You know, I believe that's a picture of as much as the Lord has done for us. I still have that old sin nature. You still have that old sin nature. We're still lame on our feet. Oh, we're saved. We belong to Him now. But we still have those lame feet. Thank God one of these days that old sin nature will be gone, friend. And every now and again, because we're still lame on our feet, we need to be reminded of how much was done for us, so that we could eat at the king's table. We need to be reminded of how much was done for us so that we could fellowship with the king. Have our position restored through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we have this service. That's why we have this ordinance. We don't have this ordinance as a ritual to go through like a robot. This ordinance demands my heart, my mind, my soul. It demands that I pull up a chair and eat this bread and drink this cup and remember where I was in Lodibar, full of reproach, lame on my feet. And tonight I'm a child of the King in fellowship with Him. And this represents the price that was paid, so that we could sit at His table. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to Thy cross I cling. It's all done by Christ. Turn your book to 328 tonight. 328. This is why we have this occasion every so often in the church calendar. King of my life, I crown Thee now. Thou shalt die and shall Thy glory be. When you get down to that chorus, look at the words carefully. This is why the Lord Jesus implemented this ordinance called the Lord's table, the Lord's supper. Let's sing verse 1. Lift it up in your heart tonight. King of my life, I crown Thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Here's the reason. Lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget Thine agony, lest I forget Thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Just play there, Naomi, quietly for us. That's what this is supposed to do tonight. It's not for ritual. It's not going to save anybody's soul. It's not going to take one sin away. You know what this does tonight? It leads us to Calvary. Leads us back to the price that was paid so that that chariot could pull up to our door when we were living in Lodibar. No pasture. Lame on our feet. Could do nothing to help ourselves. But arms of grace picked us up and carried us to that chariot. Brought us to the king's table and restored our communion and our fellowship with God. Now I'm a child of the king. Oh, I still got lame feet. I still got a sin nature. I still lose my temper. And I have to have my fellowship restored with Him. But my sonship's never in danger. Amen. Amen. And this is the price that was paid. And this is what is designed to lead us to Calvary. So we go back tonight. We go back. We see the body of the Lord Jesus hanging on that cross. Shredded. Shredded. When it's all said and done, not 1 ounce of blood from His body. All for us. All for us. All so that the chariot could pull up in front of the house and load Him over. Load us up and take us to the palace. This is why we have this. This is not, oh boy, it's a different service. We don't have to have preaching tonight. No, this is supposed to lead us to Calvary. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's sing that verse one more time of 328. King of my life, I crown Thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget Thy thorn, lead me to Calvary. Yes, Lord. Lest I forget. Lest I forget Thine agony. Lest I forget Thy love for me. Lead me to Calvary. She'll play. The altar's open if you want to say a word to the Lord tonight. We're right there in your seat. I want to ask the men who have been asked to serve to come and take your place tonight and prepare to serve the supper. You thankful for grace tonight? You thankful for the shed blood? Thankful for His body? Thankful for the day the chariot pulled up in front of Lodibar where you lived in squalor? Carried you in arms of grace, transported you to the King's palace, restored your original position with God through Christ, through His death, burial, and resurrection. Now we're in fellowship. Now we're in communion. But we're still lame. And because we're still lame, we forget and we wander away. And we need this time once in a while. Let it lead you to Calvary tonight. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. She plays silent, quietly there on the piano. You bear with me, folks. I don't want to come across as ugly and angry. But I'm going to tell you something. This is a special time. This is a special time. I put up with people talking while I preach. It happens all the time. Sunday after Sunday, people get distracted and talk. But boy, if there's a night when we should really give our heart and soul to what we're talking about, it's this night. It's this night. This is supposed to lead us to Calvary, where we see Him and all that was done so that you and I could sit at the table with the King tonight and have fellowship with Him. Father in heaven, I love You. I thank You so much for this ordinance and what it means to us personally, what it means to our church corporately. God, we don't take it lightly, and I pray that You'll help us to spend these next few moments meditating on You, Your great gift of grace, our dear Lord Jesus Christ, who gave His body and His blood so that we might be saved. Thank You that we can sit at the King's table tonight continually, that we have fellowship with the King because of grace. It brought us from Lodibar to the palace. Father, we love You. Bless the time we spend. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. You may be seated. Let me explain real quickly to those who are visiting. If you are a member of a like church of like faith and you're in good fellowship with the Lord and that church, you are welcome to participate with us tonight. We pass the bread. Everybody takes a piece and holds it and is mindful of the fact that the bread represents the body of Christ. Because this is what the Bible says. Paul said, I received the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And remember, this bread is a picture of his body, which was broken for us. We'll ask the men to pass the bread. Hymn. They're playing 331 if you need the words. Blessed Redeemer, up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn. Let's sing it. 331 if you need the words. Let's sing it as a prayer. Up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn. Walked Christ my Savior, weary and worn. Facing for sinners, death on the cross, that he might save them from endless loss. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. On the last, oh, how I love him, Savior and friend. How can my praises ever find end? Through years unnumbered, oh, Listen to this. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised. We esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We're lame on both feet. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Isaiah 53, talking about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. He was made sin for us. He took what we should have received in our place. Brother Todd Jameson, would you stand to thank the Lord Jesus for giving his body to bear our sins to the tree? Amen. And amen. And the Bible says later in the book of 1 Corinthians, in the same chapter, chapter 11, that Paul took the cup and he did the same thing. He thanked the Lord and he passed it and said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood." So the juice that we pass now is symbolic of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed so that our sins could be washed away. couple verses of that with them as they play 247. If you need the book, great old song they're singing or they're playing, and we will sing with them on the subject of the blood of Christ. Saved by the blood, we are singing together. Saved by the blood of the crucified one, now ransomed from sin and a new work begun. Sing praise to the Father and praise to the Son. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Saved by sins are all pardoned. My guilt is all gone. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Verse number 3 has one of the great phrases of all time in any song in it. When you get down there, great price of my pardon, His own precious Son. Let's sing it. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. The Father, He spake, and His will it was done. Great price of my pardon, His own. Yes, it was. All hail to the great three in one. Saved by the blood, crucified one. Saved, and my sins are all pardoned. My guilt is all gone. Saved one. And the cup tonight represents the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was sacrificed for the remission of our sin. Brother Troy Heyman, would you thank the Lord Jesus for His sacrifice for our sin? Amen. When you look in the mirror at Mephibosheth, you see yourself. Thank God for His grace. He brought us from Lodibar to the Lord's table. Hey, there's a song. I think it's in our songbook somewhere, Naomi. Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Huh? Remind me. 432, let's stand together as they gather up the cups. 432, this will be our benediction. We'll be on the way out. Don't forget your meeting if you are a primary camp worker. But let's keep in mind tonight the great sacrifice of Christ. Now, these might be a little hard to sing this song because we're not used to it, but we'll get through it. Give us an introduction. If you know it, help us sing it out. 432, here we go. The things that I love and hold dear to my heart are just borrowed, they're not mine at all. Jesus, only let me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, dear Lord. Here it is now. Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where You brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human, and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. The chorus one more time together. Roll back of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. And that's what he did tonight. He reminded us. Love you. God bless you. See you later. Bye-bye.